Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, the founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. I'm Reverend Jennifer Hope Kotler. I am one of your hosts. For this evening, I am joined by my co-host, Rebecca Stevens. Hey, Rebecca.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
We are so, I know I always say that we're so excited to be talking tonight, but I do. I get excited on every episode that we do. And tonight, interestingly enough, I am coming to you live from the high desert country of New Mexico. I am at a conference with other interim and transitional pastors, leaders in the Presbyterian Church at Ghost Ranch in Abiquiu, New Mexico, which is in the high desert country. It's a really, really beautiful place. And I'm excited to be joined with Rebecca on the East Coast of New York City. And so before we came on the show tonight, and also before I sort of launch into what we're going to talk about tonight, I want to give everyone the opportunity to join the show. So if you're interested in joining our conversation, please call us at area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397, and make sure that you press the number one key so that I know that you're interested and you have a question or a comment, or you just like to join our conversation. So anyway, before the show tonight, Rebecca and I were on and we were chatting, and I mentioned that my husband and I have been spending the last few days out here in the high desert country. We flew into Albuquerque on Thursday, spent a little time in Santa Fe, and then went to Taos, New Mexico, spent a couple of nights there, and then into Durango, Colorado. And this is a really, first of all, if you've never been to this part of the country in the desert southwest, the high desert country, as they call it in New Mexico, it's just stunningly beautiful. It is desert. There's a lot of scrub brush, but there's a lot of really beautiful sandstone mesas and also just, you know, beautiful snow-capped mountains and green rolling hills. There's just so much sort of going on with the landscape here that every time you turn a corner and you go, wow, you just kind of catch your breath because of the beauty of the landscape. But this is what many people consider to be a thin place spiritually. Yeah. And the idea of the thin place comes from Celtic Christian spirituality. And it's the places in the world where we as physical beings are in closer contact with the spiritual world, with spirits of people, but, you know, who have gone on before us, and just the, I would say that the spirit of God moves much more readily. And you know, it's hard. It's almost hard to describe, Rebecca, that you just sort of feel the spirit more intensely in this part of the world. We just arrived at Ghost Ranch, which is a Presbyterian conference center here in Abiquiu. But I had also spent 4 days out here about 6 years ago in December. After I had been in D.C. and gotten arrested, I came and had a silent retreat at the Monastery of Christ in the Desert, which is this beautiful Benedictine monastery down the road. But if you go down the road and you turn off to go to Christ in the Desert, you're then traveling 13 miles on a dirt road in order to get back to where the monastery is. So even though it's sort of just down the road, it would take you about 45 minutes to get there from here. So, and that was a beautifully powerful place for me to spend and really reflect on the experience that I had had in Washington with an organized mass demonstration where over 100 of us had been arrested, and really just having the opportunity to reflect on that deeply, and to help center myself in the work that I was doing in justice, and remind myself why, and be really clear on why that mattered from a spiritual perspective as well as a political perspective.
Wow, yes. Wow, that sounds so amazing. I think it's important to think about, I hear what you're saying about, having time to reflect. And I know several people who go on a silent retreat every year or some kind of retreat every year. And it sounds, it's actually something I've never done. And it sounds like you're in a really, really good place to get perspective and to be, insular in your thoughts, which I think is really important. I think that sounds like such an amazing opportunity. Can you tell our listeners, Jen, what Ghost Ranch is? I mean, you mentioned it was a conference center, but is it like Montreat, or can you give more details about?
Sure. Actually, Rebecca, from your frame of reference, it's a lot like Montreat. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of a conference center. They have educational and spiritual programs here year round, but a lot of their activity is in the summer. So it's a retreat center, educational programming center. You can come out here for a week and take a class or two. They have, they bring in educators from around the country, authors, writers. I know they do writing workshops. They do a number of workshops on spirituality. I was talking to them a little while ago about doing something around spirituality and justice. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to describe how stunningly beautiful it is. And I'm sure that they have amazing pictures on their Ghost Ranch website. So I'm sure if you were Googling, you could Google Ghost Ranch.
Yep.
Abiquiú, New Mexico.
I just Googled it and I'm looking at the website and it is amazing. It's ghostranch.org for anybody that's interested in looking at it. It's incredible. It looks like another world. I love it. So beautiful. Wow, you're so fortunate and lucky to be out there. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful, beautiful space. And to kind of bring it back to maybe one of our topics for tonight is that just the ways in which I think nature and the natural world connect us to God in very deep ways. Mm-hmm. And I know that for me, that has been one of the primary ways that I have felt deeply connected to God is when I'm in this kind of a setting where I really am much more attuned than maybe I am in my day-to-day life around what is it, where do I see God and how do I experience God? And God just seems so incredibly present in the wide open spaces. And the, you know, as they say in Montana, the big sky country, because the just the expansiveness of the stars in the sky at night and just the beauty of the earth around us just reminds us that there is that God is so ever present in all of this. But it's a good reminder too, because, you know, God is ever present in our lives regardless of what our surroundings are. If we choose to be attuned to God's presence. And that's the kicker.
I read today, I've been reading Corinthians for school. And so, you know, for those who aren't familiar with those First and Second Corinthians, First Corinthians 13 is the famous, you know, love is patient, love is kind passage. And but what Paul also says in Corinthians is that even people who don't feel, I mean, I'm extremely paraphrasing, and I have to get the quote, but either way, Paul says, even those who say they don't, you know, aren't close to God or don't feel close to God are in fact close to God. You know, we don't determine whether or not we are close to God. If you can choose to accept that we, you know,
right.
We're close to God. So like
you can acknowledge it or not acknowledge it.
Right. And so I feel that a lot here in the city, and listening to you talk about being, you know, in nature, and I, when I moved to New York, I was really, you know, I really rejected all of that. I just thought, I don't need nature. I don't need the woods. I don't need a garden. I don't need, you know, plants and flowers. And, you know, I just wanted to be in like a very busy, bustling city. And that's where I felt close to God. And what I realized was that, all of the things of my past, which include a lot of living in nature and being close to the earth, if you will, shaped the way that I was able to live in the city and not get swallowed up by how the city can just totally consume people. And you learn those things in nature. You learn how to sort of, like you said, how to get perspective and to really think about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I think that is so valuable, especially to people who live extremely busy lives, who have stress and who feel like, you know, where is the... You know, where is the beauty in all of these, in all of this stress? And I think it really comes from having this connection, you know, to God or to the spirit and acknowledging it, you know, and being in nature can really help you. It can really be easier to acknowledge it, I think, when you don't, aren't faced with so much of the ugliness of the world. But it certainly makes going back to the ugliness a lot easier as well.
Yeah. You know, I think too that it's really helpful to hear God's voice when there aren't so many other competing voices.
Yes. Ooh, yes. I like that.
And I think, you know, when we're in the midst of the city and we're surrounded by people and, you know, certainly our culture is becoming much more of an urban culture than a rural culture. And I think that part of one of the purposes and the ways in which the church can contribute to our culture
mm-hmm.
is to remind us and to provide spaces where we do come into contact with the Spirit of God, where we can feel God's presence in our lives without leaving the city, you know,
yes.
without having to you know, go 1,000 miles away or go out into the middle of nowhere, but
mm-hmm.
that through worship, through prayer and meditation, through just being with other like-minded folks, we can start to hear God's voice. But, you know, I think for me, I've always found that it's easiest for me to hear God's voice when I'm not in the midst of all of those other competing voices. You know,
so
when
true.
I'm on
oh my goodness.
A quiet and a retreat that is silent or near silent. And boy, there's, for me, Rebecca, there's something about just being able to see the amount of stars that you can see when you're out in a place like this, where there isn't light pollution, and
yeah.
That was one of the things that I missed living in New York was
yeah.
Seeing stars.
Yeah.
And I haven't yet spent a night here. And this is pretty far out. This is in a pretty remote area
mm-hmm.
with very little ground light surrounding it. And I'm so looking forward to just being able to go out tonight and lay and look at the stars, because there's something that just reminds you about just the vastness of the universe and the, you know, how small we are in the scheme of things. And yet, as Paul says, you know, we, you know, and the psalmist in particularly,
mm-hmm.
you know, who am I that God would care for me?
That's right.
You know, in the space of the vastness of the universe, that God cares for every one of us. It's just this remarkable thing.
Mm, I love that. That is beautiful, beautiful perspective. I wanted to Jen, do you want to give the number out? And I was going to find this passage in Corinthians.
Yep. We would love to talk to you. We'd love to have you join our conversation tonight. Our guest call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And have you found the
passage? I did. I thought I would read 1 Corinthians 13, even though, I mean, everybody's heard it. I mean, anybody who's been to a Christian wedding has probably heard this passage. But I thought with Valentine's Day coming up and
mm-hmm.
all of the, I mean, if you talk about, you know, all of this, the distractions and the noise, you know, that comes from an urban environment, I think Valentine's Day is like the New York City of, you know, distractions and noise around something that is a really beautiful thing, which is, you know, love, and not just romantic love or, you know, love between between partners, but just, you know, how we love our neighbor and how we love ourselves. And so I thought I would read 1 Corinthians 13, but if we have listeners who, you know, have heard this before, I just invite you to think about this as though it's being read as the love of yourself. So think about this as you are saying it, as if you are saying it to yourself, about yourself. So I'll just read. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, as we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but when we will see face to then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then will I know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. So I just put that out there as something to think about. In a different way. Also, I also want to say that I read 1 Corinthians today really straight through for the first time, and it's a difficult book of the Bible to read. The first part of it is really challenging, and so when I got to the to this love section, it really did feel like it really was a relief. And I felt like, you know, it was nice to talk about, or to read about, or to think about just like loving each other and what that means and how we can, you know, think creatively about showing love to each other.
I think that's so good. And I don't think that most people, and even most Christians who have even have studied 1 Corinthians, we often, even though these Paul's writings are letters, we don't sit down and read them from beginning to end.
That's
and really
true.
Get
yeah.
sort of the flow of the letter. And you know, I love Romans. I'm a huge Romans fan. And I love reading it from beginning to end, because and just the get the beauty of the language and the message of the entire book as a whole. And you know, I mean, like you said, 1 Corinthians is a tough book. This was. A book. I mean, this is a letter that was written, and actually, 1 Corinthians, we know, is not the first letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, because he refers to another letter that we don't have. But that was a church that was in conflict. It was a church that was fighting over, you know, what was the right way, and this was early. You know, early in our Christian tradition, where they're still trying to figure out, you know, what does it mean to be a follower of this tradition, of this faith tradition? And, you know, what does it mean to live in community together? And so before Paul gets to this passage on love, the chapter right before, the passage right before, he's talking about the fact that all of the gifts of the community are needed. And he uses the image of the body, that, you know, all of us are needed together in order to make up the body of Christ in the world. And it's not just about, you know, this is the piece, because he ends the 12th
chapter by saying, and I'll show you a more excellent way, than we're all going to work together and it's all going to be good. That, yeah. like, what's better than that is that we're all going to love each other.
Yeah.
And we're going to love in the way that Christ showed love. Mm. And it's, you know, and it doesn't matter what we do. That's what I love about the beginning of the 13th chapter. Like, if we can do anything, we can, you know, speak with the tongues of men and angels, you know, mm-hmm. but if it's not loving, if we don't have love for our brothers and sisters, it means nothing.
Exactly.
If we, you know, give all prophecies, but don't do it in a spirit of love, yep. with, you know, one another, with our community, it yep. means squat. Gives me chills. I mean, I just love that passage.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so important that we look at how we, you know, how Christians define and display love. And I've been, of course, I'm always, you know, keeping up on what's happening in LGBTQ justice, and so much of that has to do with the church, and so much has to do with how you know, we show total acceptance for everyone, you know, in God's world, you know, for everyone in the world. And I'm just always very conscious of how we talk about love, in that to love is not like to, you know, you can't say I love everyone and then sort of like put judgment on them, or put or say that, you know, God will judge them. It's a particular theology that I'm not comfortable with. And so that's why I like that passage, is that it just says, like, love is the most important thing. He also talks about judging, and how, you know, we really can't judge each other. There's no room for it if we're loving, and that kind of thing. So I'm always just conscious about how we talk about love. And again, with Valentine's Day coming up, I'm conscious of what that holiday means. I mean, I say holiday, but, you know, uh-huh. you know, what that means, what it means to people who aren't in love with someone romantically, who maybe have lost someone over the past year, what it means to children, you know, how we convey these kinds of things to children. And so, you know, I love, I keep saying the word love, I actually really like that, but I love the fact that we as Christians can talk about love in such a vast and diverse way, and really just kind of comes all back to that, back to love.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm so glad we're going to talk about love, and talk about love. What is, you know, what does Christianity teach about love? What are we, you know, what would love really look like if Christians, if all Christians decided to live in the world in a spirit of love? You know, what would that change? What would that look like? So I'm going to give our call-in number again. And if any of you would like to join our loving conversation, we would love to have you on the air with us. And it is funny how we throw around that word.
Yes.
Yeah, so easily.
Yes.
You know, it's just remarkable. So yes. Our call-in number, we're at the half-hour point right now, is 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. 9397. And so, yeah, what does that look like for you, Rebecca?
Well,
I'm on the radio, but I just muted it.
Oh, you're fine.
Oh, I just muted her. Sorry.
Oh, I think I
might have
messed up.
Hello?
Rebecca, I am so sorry.
That's okay.
I just accidentally muted you.
Oh, no worries. Are we all still here? Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, do we have a caller or is it still me talking?
Nope, it's you.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Yeah, love for me in a Christian sense, frankly, is very difficult. I think that it's, first of all, it's difficult to talk about being Christ-like. And, of course, in my studies, I'm talking, you know, I'm learning a lot about the difference between, like, humans and Christ and how, you know, the question of whether we can actually ever really be Christ-like. And and one of those things is that, you know, Christ, you know, was perfect in love. I don't think that Christ was always, well, I'll say that Christ, you know, Jesus was perfect in love. And I think that that is very difficult to do. I think it's very difficult to understand what that even means. And it's also, I always forget, and I'm constantly reminding myself that that also means love of myself. And I see a lot of really, really well-intentioned people, particularly in the Christian faith, because that's who I spend most of my time with, who have so much love to give to others, and they have so much generosity of, you know, spirit of generosity, but they don't give themselves time, they don't give themselves rest, they don't give themselves a thought, and we just live in this world where it's okay to be completely run down because we're constantly serving others.
Boy, that's, you know, and we've done entire shows on that. And,
exactly.
And it is, it well, and you know, and we have this cultural mindset that if we're sacrificing ourselves, then that's what love looks like.
Right, we're doing the right thing. Yeah.
Yet, you know, we often forget that the commandment said that we were to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
We get the loving God and loving neighbor, and we forget about the loving self.
Exactly. And I really think that it's important to always remember that. I also, so I'm coming to this Valentine's Day this year for the first time in, I don't know, I guess it's 3 years. I'm for the first time in a relationship in 3 years.
That's a big change. Yeah.
It is a big change. And for the past 3 years, you know, I've sort of been able to, you know, have some alone time on Valentine's Day to think about, you know, what that day really means to me and what it really means, you know, to have a partner and if that's what I really wanted and all those kinds of things. And so this year, my new partner and I, you know, talked a lot about what we wanted to do and how we wanted to spend that day.
Sure.
And of course, in New York City, it's, you know, getting a reservation at a restaurant is like a nightmare and restaurants are loud. And so we decided, you know, that we wanted to talk about or think about, since our relationship is relatively new, what we wanted from our relationship and try to reflect that on Valentine's Day. And we decided that what we wanted on our from our relationship was that we wanted to build something. We wanted a future, and we wanted to be able to build a future together. So we're going to do some, so on Valentine's Day, this is, we decided that we were going to rebuild a piece of furniture that I have. And that was sort of our way of reflecting what we want from each other and what we want from our relationship. And of course, it also saves us from having to like deal with the world on Valentine's Day and how all that works in New York City. And it's also, since we're both poor students, it's not going to be really expensive. And we're going to get to spend some time together. We're going to get to learn a lot about each other. And, you know, it's going to be like a team effort to work on this piece of furniture. It's actually my, I call it a piece of furniture. It's actually one of my pianos. So we're going to, I have two pianos in my apartment, and we're going to work on a piano that I have. So, you know, it's just that's how I'm thinking about it in relationships, but also I like the idea of building something and that love can build. And Paul, again, talks about that in Corinthians, how, you know, we're to build each other up. We're to build, you know, we're to build. And I think that's what love does. It builds. And I think if you see a place where things are not being built, and I don't mean literally buildings, but like, you know, if you see a place that's not being built, but is in fact being dismantled, then then there's a need for love there.
Right.
And I think about that a lot with the church and how people say that the church is dying, or at least organized religion is dying. Well, if it's being dismantled, then that means there's just not enough love.
Right. And there's, like you said, that love builds up. That's scriptural. It is what, we know that the church can be about and must be about if it's going to, survive and thrive into the next century. Let me give our call-in number again. So if folks are interested in calling in and joining our conversation, then the number is 646-716-9397. 646-716-9397. Remember to hit the number one so that we can bring you into the conversation. But yeah, I just, I'm wondering about bringing the two halves of our conversation together.
Yeah.
You know, we talked at the beginning about the thin places and the places where it's very easy to experience God. But I think also that when we're in really deeply loving relationships with a partner, with a parent or a child, with a dear friend, it's easy to experience God in the midst of those relationships.
Yes.
And that when, you know, and I love the way that the letters of John talk about God being love, and that, you know, one who loves has seen God and knows God because God is love. And that, you know, when we experience that love, what I often experience in spaces like this, where there's big open spaces, is just that intense understanding that I am loved by God.
And
that remarkable, considering the expansiveness of the universe.
Well, and it's nature. I just want to throw this in that nature is really a loving gift from God. That's how I see it. Nature is like, you know, we have all these beautiful like gifts from God and being able to be in nature is part of that. I interrupted you. I just wanted to throw that in, but continue.
No. I think that's a really important insight. And I think that, you know, for many folks who are deeply concerned about the future of our planet,
yeah,
it grows out of that understanding of nature as being this incredible gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we have been given stewardship of the earth, and that is it's not just a profound responsibility, it's a deeply sacred responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to live that out in the ways that we, you know, take care of these beautiful open spaces. You know, so thankful for the National Park Service.
Yeah.
That, you know, we have been given this gift here in our country. And, you know, in the last 2 days, I mentioned to you, Rebecca, before we came on the air, we were at Mesa Verde, which is a national park in southern Colorado, where they have preserved, you know, 1,000-year-old cliff dwellings of the ancient Pueblo people. And then just today, earlier today, we were at the Aztec ruins, which are in Aztec, New Mexico, and they're the same culture, the ancient Puebloan peoples, and about the same time who had inhabited the cliff dwellings in Mesa Verde were also in Aztec, and they're incredible buildings, structures that have survived for, you know, nearly 1,000 years.
Wow.
And that you know, but deeply spiritual places.
Yeah.
Yeah. They in our culture we might consider these places to be abandoned ruins. But
right.
Certainly in Native American culture, they're not considered abandoned at all. Because
wow.
The spirits of the ancestors continue to inhabit those spaces.
Wow.
Boy, you can just feel it. You can feel that you are walking on sacred ground.
Mm.
And that is an incredibly, you know, deep and just profound experience of that and being connected to peoples that lived here 1,000 years ago, long before Europeans, you know, quote unquote, discovered this new world, that there was a real deep spirit of first peoples in this place.
Yes. It's so important, I think. I think that says a lot about getting out of, you know, your immediate surroundings and being able to go and experience these things. And travel is, you know, something that not everybody has, you know, in their resources. But even just going, you know, to a different neighborhood or a different, experiencing something different, I think really provides that opportunity to see things differently, to see that, you know, there are people in the world who see the world differently. I love this idea that, you know, these buildings that we might otherwise call abandoned are in fact not, because they're still there. And I think that is such, you know, it's kind of a new idea to me. And I love that you shared that. That's really, really powerful. And it, again, it brings me back to the church and how, you know, we have this idea that the church is, I mean, I don't have this idea, but I hear a lot this idea that the church is, you know, dwindling and that numbers are going down. And I feel like, you know, the response is, well, no, I mean, the Spirit is still, you know, the spirits are still there. So it's not, you know, an empty vessel. It's actually a live and thriving place. It's really, really beautiful. I'm glad.
Yeah, and indeed, the idea, too, is that from the Native American First Peoples culture, mm-hmm. that we're all on a journey, that mm-hmm. These ancestral Puebloans were on a journey, and that they were there for a time, and the spirits of those who crossed over mm-hmm. during that time continue to reside, of the ancestors, of that just being a very sacred space. And I love the tie-in to the church,
yeah.
that our communities of faith are not just the people that we see face to face on Sunday
right.
morning, but that we are a part of this great stream, as Hebrews says, you know, a great the witnesses, you know, a great collection
yes.
of witnesses, the saints who have gone on before, and the saints who are here, and the saints that have yet to be born.
Yeah,
that we are, you know, we are on in this journey. We are part of this stream. And what, you know, if we actually believed that and we trusted that
mm-hmm.
and cared more about the journey that we're on
mm-hmm.
and connecting others through love to the
yes.
Spirit of God, what
yes.
how would our churches be different?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder.
And I want to pull out the word trust that you used. But, you know, the word trust is also one of those complicated words in relationships that, you know, that require a lot of thought and perspective. But, and I was at a, I heard a really good sort of lecture one time on the importance of trust and how trust is actually more important than love in relationships. And
interesting.
Yeah, and I mean there's a lot to say about that, but what I see is that trust is a part of love. And if we are trusting the church and trusting our, you know, if we show love, then we can be trusted. And if you know, unconditional love in that regard. If we show unconditional love, you know, as a church and as a community, then we can be trusted, and therefore, the church can build and continue on this journey as you articulate it so beautifully. And I think, you know, trusting that what we have in, you know, these biblical texts, or what we have in, you know, each other, is enough to have communities that fulfill and sustain and you know, can really provide something beautiful and wonderful to the world. And I think I'm glad that you use the word trust, because I think so important that we trust ourselves and trust what we have in our history, and that we trust each other. We trust each other, and
mm-hmm.
and that we display acts that are worthy of trust.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Because I think that, you know, I think you're right. I mean, I think that there's definitely times where trust is more difficult than
yeah.
love.
Yes.
And that really trusting another person with your heart, with your soul, and being able to be vulnerable is often a challenge for most
of us. And especially when we talk about again going back to the Valentine's Day thing, trust is easier, is vastly important, but it's also very easy to break and very difficult to build once it's been broken. Mm-hmm. In relationships, it's so powerful to think that you can totally trust another person and you can have a relationship with another person that is in full, that is fully trustworthy. And I also just want to lift up that I recognize that not everybody has that. And I think it's important when we talk about love to encourage people to seek out, these healthy relationships, whether they be romantic or otherwise, that if there's not trust, then it's probably not something healthy. And I think, Jen, you can probably talk more about that as a life coach, life and leadership coach, that, relationships, healthy relationships are so important, again, for self-love and being able to really show your best to the world.
Absolutely. And I think an important point that you made is that, there are many people who are in relationships, but for many folks, Valentine's Day is just one more reminder that they don't have a partner. And many folks who want to be in partnered relationships but don't have that. And I think it's important to be sensitive to that, but also to say firmly, we were made to as human beings to be in community and to be in relationship with other people. Mm-hmm. And so, I believe that there are folks who are called to singleness or feel most themselves when they're single. So I don't want to sort of even put out there as a norm that somebody has to have a partner in order to be whole and good and used and loved by God. But we are made for life in community.
Yes.
And so I think super important to have those relationships, to have good and healthy and loving relationships, friendships with other, as a woman, I think it's important to have, friendships with other women that are deep and loving and respectful and important in my life. To just have those family relationships. And I always like to describe, family as two different kinds of family. There's the family that we are born to, and then there's the family that we create. And so if we don't have, good and loving and healthy relationships within the family that we were born into, that's not necessarily the end of the story. That we get to create family. Gavin and I consider you, Rebecca, as our younger sister, and we love you to death. And
I love it.
So you're part of the family that we got to choose. And that doesn't mean that we don't love the family that we were born into, but the blessing of community and truly living out our lives in Christian love is that, we have more than one family and that's truly a blessing. So
yes.
Any kind of last words because we are kind of winding down here.
Oh, we really are. That's amazing.
To the show, which is always hard to believe that
I know.
Kind of coming to the end. But any last words and, you know, what do you want folks to know about you and how can they be in relationship with the two of us? Of course, we have our Facebook page and would love for any of our listeners to like us on Facebook. And if you've listened to the show tonight and you like what you heard or you have any comments and you want to interact with us, please drop us a note on our Facebook page. We'd love that. It's just Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. And how about it, Rebecca? What
about
you?
So you can reach me if people want to talk to me. I'm on Twitter at A New Rebecca, AnewReBecca. And again, you can get in touch with me on Facebook through our Facebook page. I love that you said, you know, that Valentine's Day is a tough time for some people. And I think that it's really important to recognize that. And, you know, to also remember that the media that we get around Valentine's Day is often generated at women and often generated in a frame of how you can be a better spouse or how you can be a better lover or how you can be a better partner. And it's all, I don't want to say it's always directed at women, but I would say in my research for the show, you know, everything was geared towards women and how women can improve and be better and be more satisfying. And so, you know, I just want to say that, you know, I women are amazing people. And I mean, we work really hard at relationships. And I am proud to be, you know, I'm proud to be a woman, and I know that's cliche. So I kind of resent all of this media around, you know, the idea that women are somehow not cutting it in relationships.
Right, and you have to be a particular way in order to be worthy of love.
Right,
and that's a very important message to debunk and to you know, have the reminder that we are worthy of love just as we are.
Where we are, absolutely.
There's nothing more that God requires.
Absolutely, yeah. And for those who aren't in relationships, I just would say, please, please, please continue to just be yourself, because the way that you are is enough. And, you know, for those who are in relationships and are struggling or are looking for something different from your relationship, you know, I would say the same thing. You know, we are good and wonderful just the way we are. And hopefully that, you know, that leads us to love and to true love, whether it be romantic or otherwise.
Amen. Thanks, Rebecca. So you can be in touch with Rebecca by following her on Twitter at AnewRebecca. You can reach me on my website, which is Jennifer Hope Kotler. That's Jennifer, JenNifer, Hope, HOPE, Kotler, KOTTLER.com. Spiritual director, life and leadership coach, and would love to have you follow me on Twitter, which is at Coach Rev, R-E-V, Jen, with one N. So blessings to you all. Good night. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Know that you are loved, and we'll look forward to speaking to you 2 weeks from tonight. God bless everyone.
Good night.